When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. So, the other day, at the time of this recording, it was the other day, it was on, I think, Christmas of 2010. I dove in and decided to watch the new Transformers cartoon that people were making some noise about. It was on the Transformers Network, Hasbro Network, the Hub. And believe it or not, before anybody starts walking away, I see people leaving the room already. This isn't going to be a Transformers nerd discussion. This is actually a storytelling discussion. I was live tweeting some of my responses to the show. Now, I'm going to talk a little Transformers just to build my point here. I was excited about this show because it had Peter Cullen playing Optimus Prime and Frank Welker playing Megatron. For Transformers nerds out there, they know this, but for those who don't know, those were the original voices of those two characters from the original cartoon from the 80s. So I was very excited about the prospect of seeing these characters come to life once more after 25 or more years with the original voice cast. And the new show has, like, it's fully computer-generated three-dimensional characters, which we haven't seen since 1998 or so in the Transformers franchise. So there's a few things that were kind of piquing my interest. And I wasn't necessarily hopeful or sanguine about the watching it, I at least was interested in watching it. And the thing I was telling my friends as we were discussing the show before we watched it, particularly my buddy Hoover, who's like beyond me, is like the biggest Transformers nerd I know. Personally, I know there's bigger ones than me. We were pretty much pinning all our hopes on the writing. So, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like or what the premise is. I can deal with reinventions of a storyline, but the writing has to be good. The characterization has to be really solid in order for me to glom onto it. And if that's the case, hey, I can deal with the fact that Starscream looks so weird and that Soundwave is a jet now instead of some kind of a communications device. And I need to watch them again to really evaluate the writing. But I did have this as a first blush takeaway. I didn't like the show. And the reason I didn't like the show was because of a component of the writing style. And this totally applies to a point I'm going to build about comics. The pacing of this show was so rapid fire as to make me not care about anybody. It reminded me a lot of what I didn't like about the TV show Heroes. Now, I'm not saying that Heroes was a bad show. I know it has a lot of people loved it, but as a viewer, for my own tastes, I didn't enjoy the fact that it felt almost like they were manically racing through the story points for fear of me getting bored. That each scene would be, you know, 15 seconds or less, and they would jump to the next scene and jump to the next scene. And now, granted, it was a 5-episode miniseries. They had to sort of hit their plot fast, but they introduced the villain in the first episode and just showed that he was back, and the only indication that we had that he was dangerous was the character saying he was dangerous. They didn't show that he was dangerous. He had a fearsome appearance, but outside of some expositional dialogue, there really wasn't a whole lot to make me feel anything for these characters. That's another point that I want to build, and I need to dive into the dialogue again with Thunder Punch Daily, because, man, the dialogue in this was just so tedious and boring and plot-driven at the expense of the characters. Now, Ratchet, the character, was played by Jeffrey Combs, and he brings a great performance to everything he does, so even his dry dialogue felt like it had some kind of a presence just by virtue of his acting ability. But just the general construction of the dialogue was it felt like it was just racing to get through that plot. Hit the points. Scenes where, you know, I've talked about this in the past with dialogue, with characters, is when you're writing dialogue in stories, at least what I like to do is I like to write dialogue that propels the plot, but also reveals something about the character. It should do two things. It should tell you what's happening and what the characters are trying to achieve, but also expressed in a way that only that character can say it, so that you're learning about the character while you're learning about the plot. This didn't do that. Optimus is worried and uptight and very dry. And there's a scene where he and Ratchet are walking through this valley, and they're like having a history lesson together where they're just explaining what they're looking for in this very dry, roadmappy kind of methodical way. And even that didn't even last very long. It was like about a 7-second scene before they kicked to the next scene. So, you know, I don't watch enough TV or movies to be able to say whether this is or not a sort of a trend in television, action or drama television. But it's because it reminded me of Heroes, it certainly felt that this is something that's going on in the zeitgeist right now amongst television and filmmakers, is just, I got this sense that the writers or the producers or the director or whoever was terrified that I might get bored if they hang on a scene too long. Now, in contrast, I just finished the first volume of a great manga called Twinspica. I think that's the way you pronounce it. It might be Spica. It's S-P-I-C-A. And the premise of the comic is it's about a little girl who, and it takes place in the year like 2024 or something like that. But it doesn't feel like a very, you know, like it's not like a Star Wars science fiction story. It's just, you know, in the not too distant future, there's a young girl who's going to a public school to learn how to be an astronaut. And it feels very rooted in modern times. I mean, there's cell phones and, you know, she has like normal everyday concerns, except that now she's in this astronaut school. And the first book is a couple hundred pages long, and all it really covers is her application for getting into the school, the first exam she covers while she's in school, and then a couple flashbacks explaining her relationship with her father, her mother, and with an imaginary friend that she has, as well as a secondary character and how the secondary character, the school teacher she has, how her past is tied into this little girl's past. Not a lot of plot gets covered in this book. Now, I know that this is a tradition of some mangas to slowly get to the point and give us a sense of being there as much as getting there, to quote Scott McCloud, or at least to, you know, appropriate in an indirect way some of his language he's used. But here's the thing. I got through that graphic novel, that trade paperback, in, God, it must have been about 45 minutes to an hour, maybe 2 hours tops. I breezed through that book because in a comic, the reader is in as much control of the pacing experience as you, the author, are. Yes, you have control over that pacing. You control where they're going to stop and hold and focus. I mean, there's a scene in Twinspica where these three girls who are in this astronaut school dormitory are given this exam to set up a mammoth amount of dominoes in a 7-day period. I mean, it's an impossible task. There's just thousands and thousands of dominoes. And they pull two all-nighters to make it happen. And when they finish and the exam is over, there's this 2-page spread of them leaning against the wall, sitting on the floor, exhausted, and the huge array of dominoes all set up on the floor. I hung on that moment because the pacing that the author used to build up the tension to the final release of that moment, there was a bit of a catharsis in that final 2-page spread. So yes, I did hang on it. But I'm also a participant in the pacing experience as the reader. And so scenes that the author may have wanted me to hang on for a long time, I can breeze past that. And this is one of those advantages that I think comics has over film or television, is that it's the artist and the reader are partners in the story-generating experience. It's more immersive than, in my opinion, than film or television. And as a result of that, you can take your time building your points. You can write long scenes because if the reader decides that they want to move a little faster, they can read it faster and not hang on all the wonderful details you put in every panel on the page. This may hurt us as artists, as somebody who spent, you know, 10, 12, 15 hours on the page, but that's the reader's choice. They get to do that. And I think this is something we should bear in mind when building our comic stories, is we don't have to be in this frantic rush to deliver the plot, and that we should give as much time to characterization as we do to plot generation, because ultimately we want something Dan Mishkin said in one of his workshops that I attended a long time ago. Actually, no, this is one that Dan Mishkin and I did together in Detroit back in, I think, 2008. One of his theses that he presented to the students is your readers have to care about the characters. And I felt like that Transformers show was in such a hurry to deliver plot and tension and a sense of dread that they overlooked or bypassed the whole notion of getting me to care about the characters. And I'm a dude who's already signed on. I'm a guy who already loves Optimus Prime. And if they can't make me love Optimus Prime, they got problems. So anyway, when you're working on your comic stories, bear in mind that if something feels like it might be going a little long, it's okay. I'm going to be thinking about that a lot when I'm working on my future comic stories, especially as a guy who likes to work in a compressed style that delivers as much content as possible within each page. You know, I don't want to fall victim to that trend that I detect that may or may not be there in television and film of racing through, or at least, at the very least, even if you're trying to tell a dense and compressed story, ask yourself in the scene that you're constructing, am I expressing something about the characters as well as the plot? I think both have to be happening in a story all the time, personally, in order to get your readers engaged and get them to actually love the story. If a person's hanging off a cliff and it feels dangerous, that's great. But if I don't care whether or not that person lives or dies, man, you got problems. So I guess there's two points to this. I'm talking about pacing, and I'm talking about character development. And that is a signal to me that I need to cover this a little bit more deeply in a future Thunder Punch Daily. Go a little bit more into developing characters that people will love, and also exploring some of the different methods that you can use to create different kind of pacing techniques. So duly noted, I will do that in future episodes. And this is where I say, who am I? I'm Jersey Drozd, jdrozd.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for subscribing to this content. We really couldn't do it without you. You know, this is episode 91. Boy, I'd love to get to episode 100 before year's end, but I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to try to do as many episodes as I can this week, both to play catch up for the how I fell behind over the holidays, but also just in a fun little race to see if I can actually get as close as I can to episode 100 by year's end. But with only a few days left, we'll see. So, okay, thanks again, everybody, for listening. I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody,
I hope you enjoyed today's adventure. You know, television is not the only way to be entertained by an exciting story. There is another way. It's called reading. And one of the wonderful things about books is that they allow you to choose whatever kind of adventure you like. A trip with an astronaut, an adventure with the great detective Sherlock Holmes, a comedy, anything. You can find it in a book at your school or neighborhood library. Why, I'll bet there are even some good books right in your own home, just waiting to be read.